The cold world of sports with Teddy Tucson and Alex Mandelberg.
We got some NBA playoffs going on this week. Deflategate and Tom Brady pretending to rebut to it. And a soccer riot at Atlantis versus Guadalajara. The cold world of sports coming straight at you, Riffopolis. I'm Alex Mandelberg, sitting with me. Just fucking can't help but smirk at how I like to start the fucking show. My good man, Teddy Tucson. How the fuck you doing, sir?
I am stupendous right now.
Why?
I've never been.
Why, pray tell, Teddy Tucson, are you stupendous?
Let me get my seat up, hitting the button to get it adjusted so I can
know that the first bullet point on Alex and Teddy's third
who wrote the board though? Who wrote the board? I didn't even know that it was up there until it was pointed out.
I wrote
to me
the board.
Same way that you did.
I wrote the board, but no, Alex and Teddy's thorough ass pre-production board. Our first bullet note is allow for Teddy's nana nana boo boo of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Now listen, that's not what's gonna happen.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's not what's gonna happen
you
here.
You lie.
What's gonna happen? What we're gonna do? We're just gonna talk
full
about
full disclosure. Where are you from?
H-Town, home of two drop top arenas. Shout out to Kim Olajuwon. Shout out Josh Smith. What up, Trevor Ariza? Corey Brewer, baby. What's good?
Didn't hear James Harden in there.
James Harden, how you doing? Good to have you back.
How you doing?
It's good to have him back in the lineup, man.
I'm glad Matt Barnes told your mama to suck his dick.
I had to get a role player as the love, though, man. You know, they were big.
This is the craziest thing.
Riccione, what's up, baby?
The craziest things about the Clippers Houston series to me, and you summed it up perfectly. If Matt Barnes really didn't tell James Harden's mom to suck his dick, the Clippers wrapped that series up in five.
Yeah, I mean, let's go through.
In five. They beat you guys. I mean.
First, here he goes.
You guys just won
game
the last
one.
Five quarters of that series. That's it. You won the fourth quarter of game six and all four quarters of game seven.
Game one, 117, 101, Clippers win.
Yep.
In Houston. On my birthday.
Yep.
Thanks for the birthday gift, Rockets. got me in the back half, though. You got me in the back half, though. Appreciate you. Game two goes to the Clippers. No, Rockets, right?
Yeah.
It's 109, 115.
Isn't that the game where he told the mom to suck the dick, I thought, right?
No, I thought that was. I thought it was pretty early in the...
Yeah, I thought it was game two. Yeah, it was game two.
Did it say game two there?
We're fact checking right now, Riffopolis.
We're in here.
Let's see. Rivers. Let's start from the beginning.
May 7th. Yeah, that's game. That's game two. No, that's game. That's yeah.
Yeah,
that's game two. So we're talking about game two.
Oh man! So game two, he says, "Suck my dick."
Yeah.
What happened in game?
And that's where the Rockets put up 32 in the fourth.
Oh jeez. And then you guys get beat by 30 two games in a row.
That is accurate.
You turn around, you get beat by 30 two games in a row. And then when you're down 3-1, you blow them out, which every team does in the playoffs. When you're down 3-1, game five, that I don't know where in the book it's written. It's almost like in WrestleMania when the heel hits the big finishing move on the guy in the championship fight, and the fucking the ref slides in and he slams one, two, and as he's coming down on three, the shoulder pops up
amazing,
and the
man.
Crowd goes crazy. That is as scripted as game five, you guys blow them out. That's just how that shit always seems to go in the NBA. But then game six comes along.
Now game six proceeded about according to plan if you were anybody except for a Rockets fan, which was
them kicking your ass?
The Los Angeles Clippers just taking care of business. Close game. But kind of pulling away in the third quarter.
Yep.
And look at the box score here. 40-15,
in the fourth quarter.
Without James Harden, that's why I left him out.
James Harden was not did not touch the court in the fourth quarter at all.
In an elimination game on the road.
They said it was because of they still say it was because of sickness.
And you know what? It probably was a little bit, but at the same time,
that was also because Josh Smith was hitting step back three pointers out of nowhere.
Your man Josh Smith was
that is
playing.
Not who Josh Smith is.
He was
at
playing
all.
Playing like his name was Jesus Shuttlesworth on that so court. Geez. Okay. Josh Smith.
Why, yeah, your cord's falling out there. On the corner. There you go. There you go. He was playing outside of himself.
I remember I was talking to you while this was unfolding, and most of what I was saying was, I cannot believe what I'm witnessing right now. None of this is happening. None of it made sense. This can't be. I was just get it close to, nope, that's not going to happen. And in the fourth, it was just silly.
I remember going to the bathroom. You guys were down 12 or 13. I went to the bathroom. My longtime girlfriend, Sydney, was sick. She's in the bathroom. So I went to one bathroom, went to the other bathroom to check on her, came back. You guys were down by 6. April O'Connor, the co-host of my other podcast, was sitting out there watching the game the whole time. I said, "What the hell happened?" She looked at me and said, "I don't know."
I was watching the entire time. I still don't understand how it turned into a 119-107 final
you
victory
watched,
with a 40.
And what you really saw it much more in Game 7 than in Game 6, but you did see it in Game 6. When it came time, when you guys started knocking on the door.
You talking about the Rockets?
The Rockets.
Talking about the Rockets.
When the Houston rockets started knocking on the door of coming back
Clutch
in Game
City.
6.
What up, Rudy Tomjanovich?
Oh, no, don't you
shout out
Rudy Tomjan.
Shout out the heart of a champion. And don't you ever underestimate
shout out Rudy
it.
Rudy Tomjan on this
don't
show.
Don't you ever underestimate it.
That's on my rider. Don't you dare shout out Rudy Tomjan on this show.
I had to do it one
show.
Time. One time. That's it. Riffopolis. Hold me to that. One time.
But anyways, so it got to the point in that fourth quarter of Game 6 where you saw it more so in Game 7, but you definitely saw it at the end of Game 6, when the big shots needed to be taken, all 12 men on the roster of Houston, like, give me the ball.
Yeah, everybody was willing.
I take that back. 11 out of 12, because Dwight knows he's not going to hit a fucking jump shot to save his life. So he's like, I'll be rebounding down here.
Hey, you need that defense, though.
You need the only dude on this team who plays defense, though. You need the only dude on this team who plays any defense at all.
Prigioni plays some defense. He's fucking the craftiest stealing inbound pass. He just steals all the inbound passes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. But yes, consistently Dwight Howard is the Houston Rockets defense.
But you saw those men, all of them were like, give me the ball. You need someone to take a shot right now? I'll stand in the corner. I'll pop up. I'll fire off three-pointers all day, day.
Yeah.
But when you got to the Clippers, you were seeing Blake Griffin with nobody on him, nobody near him, up at the elbow, just looking around going, someone please take the ball out of – he wouldn't even get in a stance like he was going to take a shot.
He was wide open in what has been sort of his developed jump shot range. And
he made a three-pointer when the game was out of reach in Game 7.
But he was –
would not take a shot up until that point, and then finally when the game was out of reach, he jacks up a three and makes it.
I think that's got to be that whole Clippers breakdown in a little microcosm is Blake Griffin just sort of trying to get the ball to J.J. Redick instead of
– Chris just, Paul was the only one who on the team who wanted
saying,
it.
Instead of let me just take a wide-open jump shot or B, go to the lane, try to – make it, get filed, and possibly get an and-one. Stop the game, though. Give us some time. You've got a lot of other options instead of just and trying to just desperately get it to JJ for whatever the play is called.
The same way as a Jewish man, I always say, don't lump me in with those white devils and call me white. I'm going to say about Chris Paul, you don't lump him in with those Clippers devils. That man fucking... I know what it's like to fucking have the quad injury going on. That shit sucks. It lingers. I guarantee you he was feeling it during that series. And that man played balls to the wall basketball. He, when nobody else on that team would take a shot, he was driving to the lane, getting hammered by big men because he's not that big. And I feel like I have to point that out because I'm going to talk a lot for the next few minutes about how much heart I feel like the rest of these motherfuckers don't have. But Chris Paul, I'm not lumping him in with the rest of these Clipper Devils because holy crap, there was not a dude on that team who looked like they wanted the ball in the big moment. Not one. Not one. Griffin just was like, please someone take the ball from me.
Jamal Crawford, would you give him that?
Oh,
he took a lot of shots.
He sure did take a lot of shots. I guess he wasn't scared to jack him up.
So you got to give.
So I guess I could give he. But that was that whole thing where even Crawford, he was taking shots because he had to. He's the guy. He's the first guy that gets doubled off of on defense. Whatever. Well, I shouldn't say defense when I'm talking about the Houston Rockets. Whatever you guys call what you do other than offense.
Oh, come on, man.
But when you,
enough to get to the conference finals.
But when you guys are on not offense, he's the guy that you double off of. So you have to take the fucking shot. But you double off of Crawford because he misses a lot of shots. His plus minus was minus 22 in the last game.
3 of 9 from downtown, 6 of 8. Overall.
Yeah, because he's the corner guy that you double off of.
Now here's what I'll say
when you're playing the Houston Rockets not offense, you kind of pretend to have two guys stand in the way of it. Or I guess you guys kind of just stand in the way. We'll call it the Houston Rockets stand in the way because the Houston Rockets do not
drive
play defense.
There's
no defense.
You drive everyone to Dwight and he will handle it from there.
In game six, when you guys were down
to get to the conference
finals. In game six, when you guys were down 19 points, they had your coach, the wet pile of laundry. What's
his name? Kevin McHale is his name, and he's a fine fucking coach, and he does not look like damp laundry as whatever tweet.
The man said we have to win the game with our defense, waved his hands 3 times, and followed it up with nary another word to
and
be
yet,
spoken.
And yet the message was received.
He just went, you got to play defense.
First to 100 wins. And that is the law of the streets. That's the best defense is what? A good offense. I rest my case. Yada.
There's no... Oh, my God. And you got the Clippers just not wanting to put up a... You know... I told you this before. You know what? Paul Pierce was sitting at home going, I'll take a shot. You want me to fly there and take a shot for all you motherfuckers? Because Paul Pierce, that series, the Hawks-Wizards series, that series might as well have been Paul Pierce, take 7 shots. If you make 4, your team moves on. Because that's what those games were.
Yeah.
The man took 4 game-winning shot.
2 for 4.
Technically,
Paul Pierce's world, he's 3 for 4.
Before the days of replay, they counted that as in. The refs on the court said it was in. So he made that 3rd fucking shot. And I'm a Laker fan, and Paul Pierce is Mr. Celtic, and it hurts me to fucking be saying that was the fucking truth, that you give him the ball, and I'll call game. And I was the one who said, I was like, did he call bank? When I was so happy that they asked him, I'm like, did you call bank? I was like, you're goddamn right, because that motherfucker didn't call bank. That dude just threw the ball up and got lucky. And when he said I called game, I was like, oh, fuck, he did call, goddamn. Got a good point there. Got a good point.
A lot of angst
counts
coming out
either
over
way
on this side.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, okay. It's okay. It's Rob good. Up. I just, no. I just we tapped a valve
because here. I'm a Laker fan, and these Clipper fans have been shitting on me all fucking
this
year.
They have been riding me,
and I will say it.
You are waiting. Yeah, change the fucking board from allow for Teddy's na 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 to allow for Alex's. Tell me how my ass tastes. To the entire little brother LA Clippers fan base.
Just remember,
because that's what's happening right
just
now.
Just remember, Clipper fans, that there are two professional basketball teams that have banners flying in the Staples Center, and neither one of those two professional basketball teams are the LA Clippers.
Shout out Lisa Leslie.
Shout out Lisa Leslie. Shout out LA Sparks.
Was it? Was the Shamiko Holzclaw play for the Sparks?
They've got two retired. I know the Sparks have retired two numbers from the Sparks, which is another funny stat. That's two more jerseys than the Los Angeles Clippers have retired. Zero. A bigger zero. Can you say zero? None. Not a near nutter. Jersey retired for the Los Angeles fucking Clippers.
Oh, man. They don't have anybody, though?
Not one. Not any.
Penny Toler, number 11.
Okay, there we go.
And, of course, number 9, Lisa Leslie.
Yeah, well, yeah. Much love.
Unfortunately, not as familiar with Penny Toler.
So. You're Wikipedia right now.
Shout out, Penny. Way to get your number retired. And be more accomplished.
I will say, we'll get back to the Clippers, but I do have to say quickly, though, that Hawks, the Hawks-Wizards series?
Phenomenal basketball.
Was there a game where the score was more than 3 points off? 4 points off?
So. I mean, it was you've got four game-winning shots already in a six-game series. That's just silly.
One guy taking four game-winning shots.
But that's why they brought him here. You've got 104-98 in game one where the Wizards won, and then 106-90.
The biggest win differential was game two, which was 16.
Every game except for the first two.
Was within six.
Yeah.
That's great basketball. That's what you want the playoffs to be.
Yep.
That's what you're really hoping for in the playoffs. Yeah.
And
that was a great series.
Games with some very key injuries still, obviously, on both sides.
Wall was a little bit hurt. And,
Obviously still missing from the Atlanta Hawks.
Cephalosha, you know, well, that's what he gets for being a tall guy in a New York City bar, you know, when a stabbing's going on and the NYPD show up. If you're going to be 6'6 and black in New York, be prepared to get taken down hard. Just be prepared.
That's just how the city works.
That's just how that goes.
You've also got the Grizzlies going down to Golden State. And that's a Memphis team that's been built for a while. But how much longer does that window have? You've got Conley. You've got Gasol.
Oh, that Memphis? No, that window's still open for a while. Gasol's in his prime.
Is he? How old is he?
He's younger than his brother. He's the younger brother.
Is he the younger brother?
Yeah, he's the younger brother of Powell. I know that for a fact. Are you don't believe me?
I don't believe you.
He's 30. He's a year older than me. A year. He's fine. He's good.
That's a 30-year-old man.
He's got
He's
got five more effective years. He's 7'1" for fuck. Well, he's probably 7 feet.
Is there another athlete? Because I feel like whenever I see Marc Gasol, he looks like a 45-year-old man.
No,
a very light and fresh 45-year-old man.
Just because he's bearded
and large, yes, sure.
It's not his fault. He's 7'1".
Okay. I'm not saying it's his fault, but. What's the motherfucker from the paper towel, the brawny dude?
You look like a mountain man, bitch. That makes you look old.
Okay, no, the brawny dude, right?
Yeah, brawny. The brawny paper towel dude.
That dude look 30 years old to you?
I mean, yeah, that dude looked like he was in his early 30s.
He looks 30. Early 30s?
I mean, he's the 30s. He looks 30s. Why?
Pulling him up right now.
Why you gotta be? I see the brawny guy. I see him. That dude looks good.
You think this dude is 30?
I mean, you know, yeah, fucking 33. That man's 33 years old. The brawny man is 33. I'll post this fucking, even the fucking dude who looks like the painter dude who was on
the Magnum P.I. version of brawny.
Even the Tom Selleck brawny dude. That is Tom Selleck at 30. 34.
No, come on, man.
That's Tom Selleck at 34.
That man is dying his hair. That brawny dude is dying his hair. The other motherfucker over here, the old clean-cut brawny dude, son, this is his dad over here, son, who be showing up, who had never showed up for visits, and now he's an adult, and he's like, hey, young blood, what's you gonna make out with your old man?
I'm gonna have to post pictures of the brawny guy for everybody to see now.
You gotta post both brawny guys. You gotta post both of them.
Make sure to save links for me, Teddy.
Young blood brawny and old hair dye job brawny.
Old gray hair brawny man.
That's the dude who went out for the Marlboro man job and got rejected, and he just ended up on a brawny. Ended up with a roll of paper towels just high on PCP.
He even walked in just smoking a cigarette that was rolled up in a paper towel roll. Yeah. He just was like, can I do this? Does this work for you guys? Yeah. I'll smoke out of this.
That force isn't actually there. It's part of the hallucination.
Oh my God. I don't even know what we were talking about, God damn it. You made me fucking lose.
We were talking about Marc Gasol looking like an old man. And I think that he looked like the brawny dude. That's exactly
30.
How he
he's
got
only
there.
30, though.
Right. He's the same age as I am, which blows my mind because he looks like he's got at least a couple decades on me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was because he accomplished a little bit more. Right, but, you know, he's in the NBA.
No, well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that you brought all that other stuff up to the table.
Cold world.
Cold world, indeed. It's so...
Sometimes it's a cold world for the hosts, too.
Cohort and coldness is you son of a bitch. So you still think Memphis, they still have Z-Bo for a while. They still got, do you think they're good? They're still going to compete?
Until they have.
Do they need something? What's missing from Memphis?
They're a competitive team, and they'll just keep on being a top, you know, third team. But until they have a real, that team needs either a killer two or a more functional three. Because right now, all they are, and it's very apparent, is two very talented bigs.
And Mike Conley. Don't you dare.
Mike Conley's good, but he's not. Mike Conley isn't even Trevor Ariza.
Come on now. Mike Conley had a great playoff run.
He had a great playoff run.
And
but
while injured, you saw the golf ball report.
Yeah.
You saw the damn golf ball.
Yeah. He had a good run. I'm talking overall effective ability. I don't think that he can sustainably be the type of three that that team needs to be a championship team.
I just want to say, are we judging people by what was that metric? I believe you said effective ability?
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal metric.
Effective ability?
Yeah. And I don't think it's in Madden, but it should be in the next one. I want to rate all my players by effective ability.
unfortunately, that's once again one of those pages that they describe it during the loading screen, when they describe why your guy sucks and he has a low rating in that, it's going to be a picture of Geno Smith again.
It's still one of the coldest things I've ever had to... The fact that it went from conjecture confirmed. Sometimes the beauty of we joke about a cold world, but that's part of why it's so cold, because sometimes you just live long enough to just think that thing.
Yeah,
that
the last version of Madden to describe QB
accuracy.
Accuracy. And the fact that some dudes just won't be accurate no matter what, they had a picture of Geno Smith.
And we joked. I mean, surely that might be.
But if you were talking about why some guys have a low effective ability rating, that's once again probably a picture of Geno Smith.
Well, not in basketball, though.
No, but in football, sir. A low effective ability score in basketball? Oh, gosh. Who has a really low effective ability score in basketball right now?
Kobe.
No, he does not. You take that
Cold
back.
World.
You
Cold
take
world.
That back.
You take that back. Set yourself up for that long goddamn time ago. You set it up a long goddamn time ago.
Right now.
All right.
That man can still. He's still effective. He's still got some effective ability left in him.
That's fair.
He absolutely does.
Sure he does. Yes, he does. The Mamba still has some of that, yes.
Rick Smits had no effective ability.
Oh, come on, man.
You remember the Indianapolis Pacers, that dude Lurch 7'4"? That was the only effective ability he had Indiana. Was being 7'4".
I watched that dude, man. He got his buckets, bro.
because he was almost a foot taller than everybody else around him.
Charge it to the game. Rick Smits got buckets. Are we looking for... So you've got Golden State advancing now and taking on the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. We're missing a series, I think. Oh, the Spurs, of course. Spurs going down to the Clippers.
Yeah, that was a great. Is that series.
So Tim Duncan, does he come back? Yes or no? Tim Duncan, your best power forward of all time.
Ooh, God. Before the playoffs started, I'd have said no. But I mean, it was I'd have said the same thing about Paul Pierce before the playoffs started. But you watch him play, like your boy can still play.
Yeah, extremely high level. Boy, I mean, you basically you see this is the payoff for you know watching the minutes super carefully, so that Tim Duncan can pop off in the playoffs, and I don't see how he's not the best power forward or top two. Who are you ranking above? Are you going to?
Every time someone
we're classifying
asks me
someone like Chamberlain,
that's the thing. Anytime someone's asking me about all time greatest player at each position, all time, I have a hard time with that because I rank Duncan as my number one four. But in all truth, who's the center? Oh God, most championships as a player.
Oh, Bill Russell.
Bill Russell. If I'm Bill Russell. Would probably be my number one five, but the problem is Bill Russell is shorter than Tim Duncan.
Right.
So is he really a five? Well, he was a five when he played, but today he would be a four at best.
You've got a lot to account
if for. Not a really long, slow three. So I don't – it's weird. It's hard to talk about those all-time numbers. But, yeah, Tim Duncan, if you're talking about what position they played when they played – all time, yeah, Duncan's my four.
I think so. I think you'd have to agree.
Duncan's my four.
But I mean, you basically if there's one more year for San Antonio, that team has to get rebooted at some point. You're going to lose Duncan. You're going to lose Parker. You're going to lose Ginobili.
As a Houston Rockets fan, I'm curious to hear who's your five. Is it Russell or is it Hakeem the Dream?
The best center of all time.
The best center of all time.
The best
center of all time. Or do you go neither one of those and go Patrick Ewing?
Get out of my face. Obviously. Such tomfoolery.
Well, who's it going to be then? You haven't answered my question. I need to know, Russell or Hakeem?
Purely being a center, I mean, it's got to be Hakeem. Look at the Ramadan numbers, son. Look at the Ramadan numbers. That's all I got to say.
Really?
I would go with Hakeem. Call me a homer if you must, Riffopolis.
You're a homer. You're absolutely being a homer here. I mean, there's no like, there's no call me a homer if you will. No, you're being a homer.
That was an entirely rhetorical.
You are being a homer.
That's not a homer.
Next you're going to be telling me Sam Cassell is your number one point guard of all time.
Sam Cassell, top 45 point guard all time.
That's fair enough. I'll give
you that. That's not crazy.
Who is your number one one then? Who's your number one one then? I know who mine is. I've always been a Stockton. I hated him, but I loved him, John Stockton.
I sometimes, when I'm in a more generous mood, will give it to Stockton, but I can't necessarily do that. As a person, he's awful, obviously, in many respects.
Allen Iverson?
No, not Allen Iverson.
Talking about practice. He said, not the game that I die for.
I was always a big Isaiah fan.
No. What? Number one all time?
Not all time.
I'm saying you get one point guard all time. Who is it?
My one point guard.
Is it Stockton as well? It's okay if it's Stockton as well. Stockton's the man.
I don't want to say, as a Rockets fan, how can I say that?
I know it hurts. Stockton. Just say Stockton. Say
you know who else had a great playoff? Anthony Davis.
Oh,
got his first playoff. Yeah, of the playoffs. He did. And
his team got swept, didn't they?
They did. He balled out, though.
He did ball out. He was playing 43 minutes a night, which, if you're wondering, is all of them minus five. In case you were wondering how many minutes he was playing a game.
Probably those 5 minutes were when he was taking a break in the locker room, and he's like, oh, shit, that's right.
Break? You mean IV, because he was the only dude on that team doing anything.
Shot 54% from the field, though, man, and 31 points a game.
Because he was a point guard who somehow shot up 7 inches in a year.
Or like, isn't it 8? I thought he went from 6'1 to 6'10.
Yeah, it was some stupid fucking number like and that.
I think it's over the course of his high school career, though.
No. He was in college. He was playing college ball as a point guard at 6'1.
No, it's high school.
I could have sworn it was college.
No, by the time he got to Kentucky, because he was one and done in Kentucky.
Wasn't. Yeah. I thought he went in. Oh, you're right. In between high school and college.
Yeah,
I think it was in between high school and college.
No, it's whatever the point, the time frame is. He springs up, goes from 6'1 to 6'10, and becomes a freak of nature who can post you up and
fuck
run
him.
The fast break.
Fucking. I want to shoot up 9 inches in fucking 3 months.
Is this existential bitterness, or is this a Lakers fan bitterness that he's not on your team?
Don't judge me.
Okay.
Fuck you.
That's
too.
Fair.
Fucking
that's fair.
Jesus. Yeah, you too. 43 minutes a game he was playing?
Yeah.
That's stupid numbers. That's stupid. That's ridiculous.
Nobody else.
Shooting 54%.
Nobody, that's four games. That's in 4-game sample, but nobody else even... LeBron is up there with 41.
Jimmy Butler playing 42.2, but that's just because he's not really doing much anyways. It's cool.
Hey, don't you just that's Jimmy G Butler, and the G is for gets buckets.
Well, what's his average field goals made in this? 7.
He's 44% from the field.
No, it's all right. He shouldn't get
the Bulls are good. I mean, I think that's the thing about this playoffs. You've seen a lot of teams sort of get in for the first time. You've got really break through. The Warriors getting through the Western Conference Final. James Harden taking the Rockets. Dwight Howard taking the Rockets.
Yeah, but you also have a lot of same old stories. Clippers falling apart, not being able to close. Bulls falling apart against Cleveland.
Yeah, but this Bulls team is not going to be back.
I guess
as
I should say
Bulls, way,
Bulls falling apart against LeBron, which has become just a tale.
What
of
happens
land.
To the Bulls though? What I mean, do they get rid of Tibbs?
They're the it doesn't matter what they do. They're the 1990s Utah Jazz, the second best team in the league.
Damn, son,
tough shit. Sorry. You're always, no matter what team you build, or I guess it's not second best in the league, second best in your conference. No matter what you do, no matter what Utah did in the 90s, they were always second best to either the Houston Rockets or the Chicago Bulls. They were never better than those teams. Never. The whole time that Stockton and Malone were dropping fucking dimes. And you know what? No matter what, Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah are never going to be as good as LeBron James and
Don't
Kevin Love or
Jimmy
Kyrie Irving.
G buckets. And the G is
who's not as good as Kyrie Irving. Yes or no? I will take your silence as a Jimmy gets to not be as good as Kyrie Irving. That's a cold fucking truth. That's what that fucking is. That's what the Chicago Bulls are. They're the second best team.
So then we're looking at a couple of big free agencies before you look at your final four, right, for the NBA conference finals. You've got Duncan. Is he coming back for another year? What would you say right now?
My gut says I think so.
One more?
Yeah, I think so.
One more.
I think Pierce, too.
So you think Pierce comes back for another one?
How could he not? He made 3 out of 4 game-winning shots in the playoffs.
Old man game strong.
Old man game. Bring me in for one shot. Leave me on the bench until there's 5 seconds left in the fourth.
Now,
and then I'll call game.
Speaking of the Clippers, the report that came out saying DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul had a falling out over the season.
DeAndre Jordan was leaving at the end of the season anyways.
So you don't think DeAndre was coming back ever? Even if they make the conference finals, you don't think he comes back?
Get money. He's not going to get money in Los Angeles because their 2 big contracts are already Blake and Paul. So,
which Doc Rivers had that fucking that press conference where he was talking about the contracts and how he laughed when he first saw him. You saw that. It was kind of bizarre. But I'm sure that's partially why DeAndre is going to be...
Yeah, it's gone. Get money. Get paid. I'd like to think that there are some players who aren't about that, and I don't think that they all are. And I think that, yeah, of course he wants to win a championship, and that's important and all. But he also knows that he makes a lot of teams a lot better, and there's some teams that he could get paid on. He could even stay in Los Angeles. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. I know that there's another locker room in Los Angeles that's very interested in him. I think the Lakers would jump all over paying him money because they don't have another big contract right now. They can afford to spend some money this offseason.
Who's going
to
get him the ball? Swaggy P?
No, that team's got. If that team doesn't draft point guard, draft 5 point guards and pray one of them can play. Because that whoever is going to be the one on that team, I don't think they're on the team yet. Right now on the roster is not the one of the future.
That's fair.
Yeah, there's that one kid, I can't even remember his name. That's kind of why. Because not on the roster yet. And by the way, I'm speaking as a season ticket holder. I should know who our fucking point guards are.
I hope that kid just balls out in the preseason at the Summer League. I don't know that kid's name, but we'll know it by the next time we're on.
Yeah, because he'll do good in the Summer League where they have the fucking scrubs mop up before they go to the fucking where the big boys play.
You know, Jeremy Lin was in the Summer League once.
Oh, yeah, he's on our fucking roster too, isn't he? Yeah, that's real nice. Thanks for bringing that up. I want to remember Jeremy Lin's on my fucking team.
How are you not a Linsanity fan?
Listen, I liked Linsanity when he wasn't on my team. Because it was easy to root for him from afar. But when he plays for you, you're like, oh, I get why people thought it was such a joke. Because he's not that good.
Hey, now, Jeremy Lin, pretty solid.
Say that again. Look in my eyes and don't have that smile on your face.
I'm looking at you.
But you got that smile on your face.
In your face.
Jeremy Lin is not that effective. He's good. He's not your number one on your team good. He's a really nice guy to bring off the bench, give you a little spark, not afraid to throw up shots, he'll drive the lane. He's not your number one. And right now, this league, more than anything else, is a point guard-driven league. It was about centers last decade. It was about big men. Now, it's about point guards. If you don't have a one, fucking pack it in. You won't even finish 500. That's the league now. Great point guards in this league have almost become a on every team dime a dozen. I mean, I can name 5 dudes in the league right now who are great point guards. That's a lot of great point guards to have in a league at one time.
It's been a while since we've had this much depth at the position. It's a resurgence.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah. I mean, I love it as an ex-point guard, so.
Yeah, no, likewise. Here as
but
well.
Going into the finals, who do you, obviously, I know you got Houston coming out of the West. Do you really think Houston's going to get past Golden State?
Oh, look at you, pulling it back.
Do you really think Houston's going to get past Golden State?
Are you asking me as a human being?
I'm asking Teddy Tutson, boy born in Houston, Texas. Do you believe that your Houston Rockets beat these Golden State Warriors?
Which, four by times the way,
what
games.
A great young basketball matchup that is. That's young future basketball matchup right there. I love it.
Boy. After, you know what? I would have been,
if somehow the Rockets had won against the Clippers in just average circumstances, I probably would have said, you know, I think they give Golden State a good run, but Golden State takes it. Having said that, the last five quarters of Houston Rockets basketball that I have watched were inexplicable. Do you understand me? Inexplicable. I don't have answers for how one team came together so fluidly and another one.
I feel like Inigo Montoya right now. I want to just be like, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Inexplicable. Yeah, I guess inexplicable. Yeah. It was.
Do I need to pull it up?
No, you're good.
Do I need to pull it up for you?
I'd have picked a different word. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you could pick whatever word you want. It makes
flabbergasted.
No, damn near synonyms.
Walking the thesaurus, motherfucker.
It seems like this team came together on a different level, and with their backs against the wall, and I have no idea what to expect anymore from this Houston Rockets.
This team was willing to step up for its teammate's mom being told to suck someone's dick.
Yeah.
They stepped
up. And not just anybody, but Matt Barnes. If that motherfucker is going to disrespect you, everybody got to fight on the team. Ooh. Even Patrick Beverly was ready to fight with the cast, son, wrestling style. You know how motherfuckers be showing up in street clothes? He's ready to go. But yet,
you mean your long lost brother, Patrick Beverly?
It took you about 4.5 seconds. Someone is, whoa, not as quick on the trigger tonight, are you? Usually that shit's fired off in about a second and a half tops. Disgraceful though. If you, Riffopolis, if you're wondering right now, I'm like, you don't need to know what I look like. But if you look up Patrick Beverly, point guard for the Houston Rockets, and people say, I mean, we don't look anything alike, but his hair is similar to mine. And he's got cool hair. So just know that I approve of Patrick Beverly's hair, and it's all right by me.
Okay. So, all right. So you think that these Houston Rockets might have the magic to get past the Golden State Warriors?
I think they do. I think they do. Now, realistically, I think Golden State probably wins in six. That being said, though, I think if the Rockets win, it's another seven-game slugfest.
Yeah, I'd probably say the same thing.
And
the only way you guys win is probably seven, but my brain tells me Warriors in six. That's what my brain would tell me.
Yeah, I would say brain Warriors in six, heart Rockets in seven.
What about the East?
I think it's going to be Cavs in six, to be honest with you.
I don't think the Hawks can get by him.
I don't think the Hawks can get by him. I think, maybe it'll change.
This Cavs team is bashed. Okay, this Cavs team is a bashed up Kyrie Irving and no Kevin Love. Hold on a second though. That's basically the same Cavs team that LeBron James took up against Dwight Howard and the Orlando Magic. And that
is it.
And
though?
That Cavs team lost in five.
Is it the same? I don't feel like it is.
It's down to just LeBron.
I don't feel like
it's down to just LeBron. I feel like they had
I love Big Z, but Mozgov is much younger and a little bit more versatile than Big Z was. You've got Shumpert and J.R. Smith, who are J.R. Smith, far better shooter than anybody that was on that Cavs team at the time, yeah?
No. I feel like they had who was that guy that they brought in? An older guy at
Posey?
The end. No, they had an older guy who they brought in at the end of his career, who was the only guy on the team once LeBron left. I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, geez. God, I can't remember his name.
Are you talking? This is 2007, right?
I believe so. would have been. Go pull up their roster.
2007 Cavs.
Oh, huh? Yeah, they had Caron Butler.
Look at this. Look at this 2007. Shannon Brown, Booby Gibson, Drew Gooden. Were you thinking of Larry Hughes? There's no way you were thinking of Larry Hughes. Damon Jones, Dwayne Jones, Donyell Marshall. You couldn't have been thinking of Donyell Marshall. Sasha Pavlovic? You couldn't have been thinking of Sasha Pavlovic. You certainly couldn't be thinking of Scott Pollard. I know you weren't thinking of Eric Snow.
David Wesley. He could pop up.
And Anderson Varejão. So you're looking at a far
Shannon
more...
Shannon Brown's got some shots. He's got some outside ability.
It's a far better team that he has surrounding him now than
really?
He did then. I think so.
J.R.
Smith is an upgrade. But Shumpert is an upgrade. Mozgov is solid in terms of blocks and rebounds, scoring.
Are they or are they just on a team with LeBron James, who seems to, if nothing else, whether you like LeBron James or you don't,
Tristan Thompson is an upgrade. Tell me he's not an upgrade.
LeBron James makes average players look a lot better than they are. Yes or no? Yes or no? LeBron James makes average players
That's
look
part
really
of
good.
His job.
Yes. And some of these dudes.
And Tristan Thompson benefits. That dude has played a sensational playoff series. And I think he's going to be a bit of a matchup nightmare for the Hawks.
Yeah. And if J.R. Smith was in Phoenix, Phoenix still sucks.
No, sure. But also, here's your man came to Cleveland to play with LeBron knowing that he didn't. Remember he talked that shit about how he has been more focused because Cleveland doesn't have as much of a nightlife?
Yeah.
Listen, it's not just about what you do on the court. It's about off the court. If I was like, hey, dude, come work for me in Des Moines.
And they do have the angriest man in basketball, Kendrick Perkins.
Right? But listen, let's say all of a sudden someone came to me with some crazy seed money. And they're like, yo, we want to take the Cold World of Sports, syndicate it nationally, whatever, whatever. And we're like, where? And I was supposed to break the news to you. And I was giving you all the good stuff. And you're like, okay, cool. Where's the headquarters going to be? Did we get to stay here? And I was like, nah, we got to move. I'm like, oh, where are we moving? And I'd be like, we got to go to Wyoming.
Either Kennebunkport, Maine.
No, let's go to Wyoming.
Oh, Jesus. No.
You got to be headquartered in Wyoming.
No. God, no.
But, yo, I promise you, we'll be the most competitive elite sports podcast in the game.
You just gotta come. Fine, I'll go to Wyoming. Fine, I'll go to Wyoming. Fucking fuck. Really?
That's LeBron. That is LeBron. And your man came to Wyoming and he was like, hey, this is amazing. I don't have all of these scandalous hoes and all of these scallywags. Riff raff in my life. I don't make all these poor life decisions because I just go home, maybe I read a book.
They're just not
deep. Watch some Netflix.
They're not deep at all. And now with Love and Irving hurt, it's LeBron J.R. Smith, who is not a second superstar.
He doesn't need to be. He just needs to shoot.
In today's NBA, what's the rule? I've told you this 100 times.
Kyrie Irving plays.
I have told you this 100 times. If you don't suit two superstar level players every night, pack it up.
NBL. One of my superstars is LeBron James. That's an exception to the rule.
No, it is not.
And I surround him with a shitload of shooters.
Because that exception already got blown up in 07. That exception got blown up when he got bounced by the fucking Magic and he left for fucking Miami the next year.
Where he won three
championships because he was on a team with other superstars on it.
Kyrie is scheduled to play.
But he ain't Chris Paul, and Chris Paul wasn't as effective as he could with an injury.
He doesn't need to be super effective, though.
Kevin Love.
He doesn't
He absolutely does.
I don't think he needs to be super effective against this Hawks team.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Hawks I wouldn't be surprised if the Hawks do the same thing that the Magic did and beat the Cavs in five. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cavs only come out of this one winning one game. It sounds crazy. I get why a lot of people would think I'm crazy saying that, but I think a lot of people would have said the same thing if you went the Magic beat the Cavs in five the year they did.
You've got the Hawks in five.
I'm going crazy. I'm going fucking Skip Bayless levels of trolling on this fucking call.
Get out.
I'm going Skip Bayless calls on, because if I'm right, I'm going to be the only one who said it. Just like everything Skip Bayless says. It's why he says the craziest shit in all of sports reporting, because he knows that if anything that he says ever comes true, he'll be the only one who said it. That's why he says, say a crazy thing every day. If one of them a month comes true, you get to keep your job.
Well, you also, it only works if you work for ESPN.
Yeah, well, that's Skip Bayless.
That's the other Skip asterisk Bayless. There. Okay. Hawks and five.
Mm-hmm. I'm going crazy. Hawks and five.
Cavs and six.
I don't think the Cavs have what it takes to win this series.
Cavs and six.
I think they barely have what it takes to win a game.
That's absurd.
I think the one that they win is a nail biter.
I want to flash forward to when the Cavaliers have won multiple games just to play this soundbite for you.
Is what it is. Is what it is.
So you've got a Atlanta Golden State.
Atlanta front. Golden State. And I think Golden State takes it. Well, that's my call.
I think it'll be the Cavs no matter what. But we'll see if my heart.
Or if my your head. Heart or your brain is right. Well, next up. So we got Tom Brady's rebuttal to the Wells report and Deflategate came out this week.
Deflategate in general. We haven't really. Have we spent much time talking about Deflategate?
We've talked a little bit about Deflategate, but I mean, people know what it is. If you haven't read the Wells report, it's 270 pages of boring shit. I fucking hate the New England Patriots. I couldn't wait for this thing to come out. It came out. It said that Tom Brady was the cheater that I thought he was. I couldn't wait to dive into this thing. And even I put it down at page 113. I mean, this thing is just, and so anybody who's criticizing it and like, it's not, oh, and he wasn't thorough in this and blah, blah, nobody in the world has read every page of the Wells report.
I still contend that at least Brady's lawyer has read it.
No, he has not. If Tom Brady, like I told you this before, if Tom Brady's lawyer was delivered a car full of money and he was like, here's a car full of money, I need you to get through the Wells report so we can try and poke a bunch of holes in it, I'd have gotten to page 114 this time and then called him and said, come pick up your car full of money. I can't read this boring ass shit. This is fucking terrible.
I don't think you understand how the car full of money works.
Non-negotiable car you, full of money.
I don't bring back a car full of money. Either you take the car or you disappear.
Have you read any of it?
I haven't had the chance to dive into any of the Wells reports.
We obviously
have a little bit of it up here right now, but that's the other one. Wells is also the same guy who did the Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin report. So he's sort of the guy.
This is not the only Wells report to come out. But as someone who read a bunch of it, it seems very much like Tom.
Well, it seems crazy.
Tom Brady, from reading as much as I read, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, Tom Brady knew that he had told these gentlemen, I like flat balls, flatter than is legally allowed. If that's how they happen to be on the field, cool. Here's some sign shit. That's what I got. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, knowing that that is 100% what happened. I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah.
And yet you've got an owner who was just shit all over
by Richard Sherman for having cozy ties with the commissioner.
Yep.
His team enjoying favorable treatment. Now, throwing, what do you call it, hissy fit a little
bit? Which, by the way, I do want a little count it that I... What did I tell you 2 days before the Wells report came out? How many games did I tell you Tom Brady would be suspended for?
You predicted 4 games.
And I told you why. Because their bye week is after 3. He can appeal. They'll make a big deal about it, knock a game off. They'll miss the first 3 games and then get a bye week to get ready for his first week back. He did the same thing with Ben Roethlisberger. He'll do the same thing with Tom Brady.
So you think it'll end up being technically 2 games?
It'll be 3 games.
3 games, including the bye week.
3 games, then the bye. Well, no, because once the 3rd game is played, he's allowed back in the facility. So he's allowed to be there for the bye week.
Right.
So he'll be there for the bye week, and then his first game back will be week 4.
Week 5, you mean?
Technically week 5, but yeah. Their 4th game, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what makes the most sense. It made sense before the Wells report even came out. 4 games. The Wells report didn't change anything. And when they rebutted it,
the Wells report context is what it was. They set up the whole website is ridiculous. I can't remember football being this ridiculous in the offseason.
The website that the New England Patriots set up to rebut the Wells report, which I believe is called wellsreportcontext.com or .org or something like that, is equivalent to the websites that Scientology sets up about people.
Go
to www.whoispaulhaggis.com, which is a fucking website set up by the Church of Scientology.
Look at this thing. First of all, the fucking the values of this website, it looks like someone rushed to a fucking FedEx office and made this on their lunch break.
Yeah.
It does not look like a multi-million dollar sports franchise.
They include McKinnon's scientific conclusion, which, by the way, has already been completely knocked down by Bill Nye, the science guy, who is the foremost authority on science in the world today besides Neil deGrasse Tyson. So if you're not Neil deGrasse Tyson or Bill Nye, the science guy.
Is this just for you or for science?
For the world, for science. That's how they all spoke. That was announced this year in Hamburg at the fucking Nobel Awards. They said, if you're not Neil deGrasse Tyson or Bill Nye, fuck off with your science.
Sorry,
you don't
everybody
get the science
else.
With everyone else.
Sorry, other scientists around the world.
Sorry. That's just how it is. That's fact. Bill Nye went on television to say everything Bill Belichick said about science was false. Because what he said was so false, Bill Nye was like, I don't want people thinking that's science. I'm the fucking man who says science in this country, so I will tell people what science is. That's what Bill Nye did.
So
he did. And then another rebuttal that they have is that Tom Brady has never been on record saying that he likes flat balls. My cousin, who is a diehard New England Patriot fan, is going to lynch me for telling you this on recorded podcast right now. He even said when he saw that flash on the screen, "Oh, come on. I've heard him say that."
Yeah.
Fan of the team was like, oh wait, come on, I heard him. You can't say that. I heard him say that.
People, that's where you can't even circle the wagons.
Not to bring it back to Scientology, it was the same thing I told you when I saw Going Clear. I went, listen, if you know anything about Scientology, you're like, oh yeah, but they didn't talk about this, and they didn't talk about this, and they didn't talk about this. And I said, listen, you can only talk about in a documentary what you can prove. Because if you even mention one thing that you cannot prove, you discredit everything that you did prove. Even if they might have been kind of right in some of their rebuttals, including one rebuttal that we look at and go, oh, come on, I heard him fucking say that.
But this is why
you discredit everything else.
This is why you don't do a fucking... Look at this. Look at this whole jump. Look at this whole thing. This is...
This is the website that they set up. I'm telling you, it's the website, the wellsreportcontext.com is the exact same as a fucking Scientology who is antiscientologist.com. It's the same fucking thing. Who is paulhaggis.com is the same as wellsreportcontext.com. It's the same fucking thing.
It's so poorly formatted, though. I mean, if you're going to go into
step up
this
your
kind
word,
of-
hey, New England Patriots and Church of Scientology, step up your WordPress
game. If you're going
step up your WordPress
to go to war like this against the NFL, and you're not hurting for money, why have such a thrifty ass website? I can't even believe your case. First, like, you don't even invest enough in your own case to put the money in for the website. How am I even gonna believe you? You're not even trying to sell the lie. Even if I was on the fence, I'm not on the fence. I'm just saying you're looking for your target audience with this site. Who is that?
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know why.
So here's my question for you then. So how does this end with Roger Goodell now inserting himself for the appeal? Does it end up getting overturned?
Goodell goes in and he sits down with Tom Brady, and it is the shortest meeting in NFL commissioner history because he only has two questions for Tom. Well, he has one question for Tom, and then based on his answer for that, he has, you know, two other questions that he can go to. The first question is, are you willing to shut the fuck up if I knock a game off your suspension? That's his question. Tom says, no, I'm not willing to shut the fuck up. I want it all reversed. Goodell goes, fine, you're serving all four games. And if Tom Brady says, yeah, willing to shut the fuck up, he's like, cool, it's three games. Get out of my office. Go home, kid.
So which one happens?
Which one do I think happens?
Yeah, which one do you think happens?
Oh, I think he says that he's not willing to shut up, and I think he actually is going to serve all four games. I wouldn't have thought that when I first said it to you 2 weeks ago. I never predicted when I said that he was going to get four games. I thought he was going to get four games and he was going to go, damn, that sucks. I'm going to file an appeal and then get a game knocked off and it wasn't going to be a big deal about it. I never would have foreseen them going the Lance Armstrong denial method of just, I'm going to go against the credibility of every person who's ever spoken against me and tear them down and say awful things and fuck everyone who says that I'm lying. I didn't think it was going to – it's just Lance Armstrong-esque.
I don't think it's that far so far.
Why isn't it?
How is it that level?
How is it that level? They're listing science on this website that was disproven. It's already been disproven. They talk about the rubbing of the football and how that could the tensile strength of it. No, we already know that that's not going to happen. It's not going to affect the PSI even a hundredth of a pound, let alone a full pound that we were under. Laying the balls next to the heaters wouldn't even do that. And that was what my team, the Jets got busted for, laying the balls next to the heaters. Guess what? It's fucking cold as hell out there. I would have laid the balls next to the heaters too as a ball boy. I didn't know that was against the rules until I found out it was against the rules. And I'm one of those dudes who knows most of the rules.
That seems like a terrible rule.
Yeah, you can't lay the balls next to the heater.
That seems very petty.
Yeah, because but you can't.
But I mean, I guess it's
you
a blood
can't
sport,
do it so because it can affect the PSI by up to a half of a pound, which would put a ball underneath.
Yeah, I'll do it.
So. It's an understandable rule. Once I have it explained, but that they're putting in science. It is Lance Armstrong X. It was the same thing that he was doing when he's having people write. He's like, I was taking cortisone cream.
Whose careers?
I'm not saying it's the same level of cheating. I'm not saying
you're
that.
Saying the
I'm not saying
the
cheating
the
is
denial.
Equal. I'm saying the denial is equal.
Because you assume.
Lance Armstrong beats them in the ways he cheated. Lance Armstrong is a way bigger cheater. But the level of denial is the fucking same. It's the same fucking level of denial. I told you, I don't think that the Patriots are as filthy as baseball was in the 80s. I don't think that they are. But if they were, Tom Brady would be Jose Canseco. He would retire, and then he'd burn it all to the ground. He wouldn't do it now. He'd deny, 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 deny. And then when he's 38 and he retires, the first thing he'd do is write a book, fucking, here's all the shit the Patriots did, and I'm Tom Brady. By Tom Brady.
I would buy that book. I would pre-order the fuck out of that book. I'm waiting on the book right now. If your man decided to just be like, fuck the suspension, I'm retiring today, I'd be like, yo, Tom, what a book at, though? Can you pre-order a book that's like 2 years away on Amazon? Because I do.
I mean, you could call in, right? You could write a letter, I'm
Untitled
sure.
Tom Brady book. I'm pre-ordering that shit. I think the Jose Canseco thing is a very interesting comparison for a post-NFL Tom Brady life, because that's when you, whenever you hear anything about him, it's that he just eats, sleeps, breathes football. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's his whole routine. So if you take that away from him, I mean,
he's going to lose his mind.
What happens?
I don't know. We might get to see. I'm excited about that. I'm giddy as a motherfucker about that.
Oh, man.
Well, real giddy.
Do you want to jump into the soccer riot real quick? Or
fuck
do we,
yeah, let's do it. We're at the hour mark. We can home stretch this motherfucker right here. Yeah, home stretch this shit.
I feel like there have been quite a few soccer incidents that have happened recently.
We said it's like there's a soccer riot at Atlas versus Guadalajara. I feel like we should just say there are soccer riots, and there was another. Like,
well, it's a 15-minute delay with fans running onto the field, attempting to attack players and the referee, and then violence in the stands where they were in a standoff with police officers where they snatched batons, riot police out there.
The players were told to resume play after they tackled the guy who went on the field, and the captain for the away team, I believe it was, who was up 4-1.
Yeah.
His teammates over to the bench and signaled to the ref, we're not playing until this shit settles the fuck down.
Which, good for him. that's what you want out of a fucking coach or a manager or whatever.
No, it wasn't the coach. It was the captain.
Oh, the captain. Yes, yes.
The captain, you saw him going, nope, get over here. Get over here.
Shut it down. I feel like, though, it's fascinating to me that it's a 15-minute delay. Because I feel like if this kind of incident happened in any other sport, do you think it just is a delay?
Did they finish the game, The Malice in the Palace? Did they finish that game?
I don't think they did.
I'm really curious about that one. I don't know if the Malice of the Palace game actually got finished.
I don't really honestly think it did.
I think it got called, didn't it?
Let's see.
No, it did. They finished the game. If they finish that game, then yes, I believe so. Yeah. Then I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, they finished the game.
Yeah, they finished the game.
So there you go. Yeah, then I believe yes. If they finish that game, then if that same riot broke out, we had Raiders Broncos, what is it, early 90s, I want to say.
Yeah.
Early 90s, there was a bad riot at a Raiders Broncos.
Now, here's
game. The
other thing, though. I think part of that is that there was only a minute left in the game. So it was easy to finish.
That's a real shitty good excuse, though. That is a good.
It's not a shitty good excuse. But you know, like this should happen at what? Like the fucking 50-minute mark or something? In the second half? In the soccer match,
yeah,
we're talking about,
yeah, no, this happened very early in
very early in the second half. So imagine coming out early in the third quarter, and that happens. Do you think they still finish then?
Yes, because the Giants fan who had the shit beat out of him, that happened in the seventh inning.
Yeah, but it didn't spark a fucking riot on the field. That's the part that I feel like we're under in America. If a motherfucker causes riot police to squadron off a section of the crowd.
Okay, but in defense, riot police don't just go to NFL games.
And if riot, they showed up.
Riot police just are at soccer games. Like, it wasn't like the riot started and then the riot police showed up. It no, was no, like the don't, riot started.
Don't turn
started.
This into a chicken egg situation. The riot police are there because they were rightfully placed there because they understood the likelihood of a riot occurring was 100%. And so they would be needed.
So a riot is far more likely at a soccer match than at a
that's
football
the
game.
The whole point,
so,
though, is
so
that
that's what I'm saying is that you would have
equivalent
security
of this
guards
happens,
breaking shit up.
And they would be overwhelmed by drunk idiots. And then we would have hooligans everywhere getting tackled by NFL players. And then you would have riot police.
So like I said, it happens completely different in the NFL.
That's oh,
it happens completely different. So I guess in that case, yes, probably the NFL game can't finish because the NFL players are now hitting fans.
I mean, I feel like that's what's going to happen if it was football. They would just tackle the shit out of people.
We've seen coaches tackle people.
Yes, we have.
We've seen referees tackle people.
Yes, we have.
Let alone actual hooligans who had stolen batons from security guards.
Yes, these hooligans at this game, at this Atlas Squad Guadalajara game.
I don't even know if we call them hooligans at this point.
The riot police showed up and they were trying to barricade. They were just trying to stand with their shields in front of them so they couldn't get on the field. And one of
after
them,
a few of them ran on the field.
One of them stole one of the cops' batons. And hooligan after hooligan, which, by the way, you know that these dudes just were relishing the chance to do some shit illegal because as soon as shit started popping off, like half the dudes who were sitting right around the area where shit was popping off take their shirt off, tie it around their face.
Amazing how many dudes' face got covered within 30 seconds of shit escalating.
And then this dude steals this baton, and one by one they take turns passing the baton off from hooligan to hooligan as they step forward, kick at the barricade, and swing the baton at the shields. It was kind of amazing how organized it was. It was like, all right, everyone gets their turn. Everyone gets their turn.
It was only a 15-minute delay. It's insane to think about. I feel like you consider some of the militarized responses that you see to things in America for sporting events especially. And if something like that happened during the NBA playoffs or during week 16 at the NFL, I feel like all hell would break loose at that stadium.
I don't know. I really feel like I feel like it's that whole thing where it's like the masses are dumb, but the individual is smart. And I feel like there'd be enough individuals who are like, I'm not going to get involved. I'll let this mass of idiots be dumb. And every stadium has local cops at it. And those cops are going to be able to effectively handle the situation because
got a lot of faith in
they're them. Armed like a motherfucker.
All right, well, I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to handle it.
It's not the best way to handle it, but they are very well fucking equipped, unfortunately. Almost too well equipped.
Yeah, there it is, right there. I mean, I feel like
they're almost too well equipped to handle it.
It's a recipe for disaster, I feel like, for something like that ever happening in the United States. It would be a disaster.
I don't think it'd be as disastrous as you think it would be.
Ah, well then.
I think people would just be like, oh, that sucks. Ah, the cops handled it.
How do you have so much faith in people?
Because the Malice of the Palace got finished.
Because it had less than a minute left. It wasn't in the third quarter, man. They had less than a minute.
I think even with more than – I think if this should have happened with
eight minutes left in the third quarter.
No.
They call it.
Okay.
Or you make it up at some day.
I remember –
You don't play that night.
I do remember.
Play in a closed gym.
This isn't even the same thing. I remember being at a Dodger game. I was at – This is always big. I tell people this every. I was at the last ball day at Dodger Stadium where they actually gave you a ball when you showed up. And the reason why it was the last ball day was because there were a few calls in that game that fans didn't like. So they started heaving baseballs on the field at players and umpires en masse.
Yeah, of course. What balls are for?
These weren't like soft, like play. These were hard. These were league balls.
That's what the balls were for.
Why would you get? I would if you came to me, and I was a manager, and I was like,
Who's responsible for ball day? Who ran this promotion? And someone stepped forward and they said it was me. Go, what?
Hey, did you hit that man?
What was you thinking behind giving a stadium full of intoxicated individuals baseballs for a product that may or may not be subpar on this
day? I think they were playing the Rockies, and I remember there was one moment where I saw a ball go up and a player turned his head and he put his glove up to his face and the ball went in his mitt. If he didn't see it at the last second and catch it, that ball would have fucking taken him out. The whole Rockies team, if they weren't able to get into the dugout before the balls really started raining, they were all standing in a huddle just above the second base because no one had the arm to get it out there. That's what happened.
It's so sad that they had to figure out the one location. I would just show that. Do you see this picture of these grown men huddled here so they can't be reached?
Yeah. They stood over second base.
That's the only reason why we're not paying more in insurance.
And that game got called in the sixth inning. Because if you play five, it's an official game. So in the sixth, the fans had thrown balls once in the fourth inning. And then they started throwing them again in the sixth, and the umps called the game.
There's got to be some sort of equivalent like that in the NFL or the NBA.
There is. I think it's like 5 minutes into the third quarter, because I feel like that almost happened last year with like a thunder and lightning delay. They talked about if it went on for too long that they'd call the game and take the score as it was. I think it's like 5 minutes into the third quarter is an official game, something like that. So I believe the NFL does. But again, I really don't think that a riot could happen in an NFL game to the level that it would end the game. I think you'd have a delay, certainly a delay, but I think they'd finish the game.
Well, I think we'll have to.
I also don't think that anybody in America loves fucking football as much as some of those hooligans in that game love fucking love Atlas. I think those motherfuckers live.
We talked about this. We have seen a window into your average football fan like we've never seen before, and they are terrifying.
They are kind of terrifying a little
bit. So you, my friend, we shall end by saying, have misplaced optimism.
All right. Well, that is it. What do you got anything to plug at the end of the end?
I'm at the old haha.
What's it called now?
Shakeyville Cafe or something. Yeah. This Thursday at 8:30. Shout out to Jose Chavez putting on a show out there, so I'm doing that.
What's the date for that? I don't even know what that is.
That'll be on the 21st.
Okay, yeah.
21st at North Hollywood Ha Ha Cafe, so come check your boy out. And for most of the cafes, Fridays and Saturday nights and all that shit.
Very good. So yeah, I'm actually going to be headlining the Federal Bar I think at the end of June.
Hey!
Got another headlining spot.
All right, all right.
All right, all right. You can also check me out here on Riffopolis, also doing Vulgar Tech with Reverend Mitch. If you go on riffopolis.com, you got all my contact info. I'm also over on the Crab Diving Network with the Can of Linguists with April O'Connor. And other than that, I'll take Teddy's lines and see him do it. You can catch me running all up in these streets.
In these streets, running them.
You can catch me in these streets, running them. All right. Thank you very much, Riffopolis. Have a good night.
Peace, bitches.